You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
This is Title Town Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The third cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome once again, everyone, to Titletown Sound, episode number something or other. There might be a hidden episode, like a secret episode of the show that you guys didn't get to hear, except for maybe one guy named Steve, but we won't get into that right now. But it's a new edition of Titletown Sound. It's the special NFL Draft, 2016 NFL Draft, preview show. Bobo here, of course, as always, because I live in a cave here at the Titletown Sound Off Ranch, which I'm not supposed to say it's a ranch. Not supposed to say where it is. It's all very secretive. But James Cosmo's here. James, how are you doing?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
James is very excited. He and his friend Steve.
I couldn't be more excited. My friend Steve and I are we're here. We're ready.
Yes. Hashtag inside jokes. And we don't have to pretend to be smart today, James. This is the good thing. Because we actually have somebody here who knows what he's talking about, and that is the one and only Cody Bauer. Cody, how in the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Very happy to have you here.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's like I said, we don't have to pretend to be smart today because Cody can be smart. So
that's a lot of pressure right now, guys.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fully intended. so let's start on the defensive side of the ball, jumping right into things here. Big need for the Packers now, defensive line, nose tackle especially, I guess, with B.J. Raji retiring for a season. I don't know if that counts as retiring. I guess in boxing that would be retiring, but whatever. So I guess defensive line, what are your thoughts as far as the top guys available? Who might the Packers be looking at? Go for it.
This is a relatively deep draft for defensive linemen, whether Packers are going to be addressing the five-tech position, which is responsible for playing two gaps on the end opposite Mike Daniels, or whether or not it's going to be, you know, getting the nose tackle to replace Raji and kind of work in a rotation with Guyon and Pennell, and particularly when Pennell's suspended. But a couple guys that I'm looking at that I'm hoping it almost falls to 27. One of my top guys, he's a top 10 player for me, is Andrew Billings, defensive tackle from Baylor. 6'1", 311 pounds, just built really squatty, absolute tank, super strong, repped over 30 reps at the bench press, the combine, 225 pounds, broke all kinds of high school state records in Texas in the weight room. Just a really, really good player who pops off when you put on the Baylor defensive tape. He can penetrate, get into the backfield. Not a real good repertoire of pass rush moves at this point, but he's just a menace. You know, he works real hard. He surprises defensive linemen with some quickness. He can get by and push the quarterback out of the pocket. And then, of course, he can, you know, take on double teams and not give up any ground. For me, like I said, top 10 guy. I'm hoping he falls at 27. There are a few teams who definitely have a nose tackle need before us, particularly I'm thinking Washington, that could find his services useful. But that would be one of the more ideal situations for me if he fell. I think he would start immediately in the base, or at least push Guyon in the base, and then, you know, kick inside when we go to the nickel. I think he has that ability to stay on the field all three downs if necessary. Moving on to another nose tackle that really I think is a solid player is Jaron Reed from Alabama. Now, right now, Reed is strictly a two-down player. He does have the versatility to play some five tech as well as a nose. So, say, in goal line looks or in heavy looks, if we wanted to put him and Guyon out there, I could see that being a realistic option. A lot like Billings, Reed is super, super strong. He doesn't move at all on double teams. He's really like a fence post out there. But the good thing about Reed, and I know my complaint about Raji a lot, was his inability to really make plays off his frame. You know, too often you'll see a running back run right by Raji when he's getting blocked, even singly blocked, and he just doesn't even bother to stick out an arm to try to make the play. Reed actually likes, you know, plays very aware and understands where the play is going. So what he really excels at and what primarily the need or the duties of a nose tackle in the 3-4 defense is to take up blockers and allow your linebackers to roam free. And Reed does that extremely well. I mean, that Alabama defense has been top-notch for 2 years now, and he's been a prominent part of that. A couple of the five-tech options, and realistically, this could be a better option if the Packers want to address this early. We really don't have a good starting five-tech at this point. Dayton Jones was talked about. He's going to be moving to Leo, which is, you know, the essentially like a strong side end in the 3-4 or 4-3 under defense. And Dayton had some success there on the outside, and it's time that he gets a little changed to maybe light a fire up under him. But one of the guys that you know, sticks out to me is Chris Jones from Mississippi State. 6'6", 310 pounds, just built extremely well for that 5-tech spot. Now, he will need to learn a little bit about playing two gaps and taking up blockers. Right now at Mississippi State, he was, you know, asked to rush the passer, whether he was kicked inside the 3-tech or even at defensive end. He's got a really, really quick first step. He's kind of like will surprise offensive linemen with how quick he is. Some issues with Jones, though, is his motor kind of runs hot and cold. He didn't even play, I think, like around 60% of the snaps for the defense. And, you know, when you're only playing 60% of the snaps, you kind of want to see 100% all the time. And he just didn't really have that. But he certainly has a lot of the tools that could help this defense, both in the run game as well as rushing the passer.
I think Jones stuck out to a lot of people at the combine, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, he did. You know, a funny story, I was watching that in the morning, just laying around, and my wife saw that, and she looked at me and just busted out laughing. We had to put it on rewind just to make sure we saw what we thought we saw. It's going to be a good story for a long time. That's going to live with them forever. Two other five-tech guys just to touch on real briefly. A'shaun Robinson from Alabama played on the line along with Jaron Reed. He played that five-tech position. Again, he's just really got a bull rush at this point. Doesn't offer a whole lot in the pass rush area, but he does take on blockers really well and, again, allows the linebackers behind him to play free. And another guy who I like, and he's kind of in the fringe first-round option right now or fringe first-round range, is Vernon Butler from Louisiana Tech. 6'4", 323 pounds. I think he has the versatility to play both nose tackle and five-tech, which kind of makes him, you know, more enticing to a team like the Packers who have needs at both. I think he, if the card got turned in and he was on it, I don't think a lot of Packer fans would be thrilled with that selection, but I think a lot of the people in the know would be like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And he's really got some untapped potential that, you know, he could be an ascending player. I think he's an ascending player. He stood out real well at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile this year, too.
Okay. To back up, I guess, to those first couple names that you mentioned, first of all, with Billings out of Baylor, my new favorite draft term, squatty. Very squatty player. I love that. I guess that's a good thing, but it just sounds great.
Well, for a nose tackle, it's not a terrible thing. You know, he's 6'1", 311, so he's just like a little bowling ball, essentially, but he just doesn't move. You know, he can take on double teams. He just stands there. It's quite impressive, actually.
He's a big bowl, man. He's huge.
Sounds good. Huge is good for D-tackle. The other guy I wanted to mention, Jaron Reed, that you mentioned, I've had a fairly decent look at nose tackles in particular. This was a couple months ago now, so my memory might be fading, but I thought Reed easily looked like the best of the couple Alabama defensive linemen, and I would love to have Jaron Reed. I thought he just looked Like, I thought he was one of the best overall guys at that position. So I think there was one guy, was it Robinson was ranked ahead of him for a while? Is his stock dropping? Or?
I have Jaron Reed ahead of A'shaun Robinson. It's kind of weird. A'shaun Robinson with the big draft guys, you know, the mainstream guys, they definitely have him over Reed. But for me and a lot of the guys in the draft Twitter community are Reed over Robinson. Robinson is, I think a lot of people want Robinson to be better than what he is, and they're just kind of like holding out hope that he can become that. But ultimately, you know, you're drafting for your, you know, the GM's job or, you know, a guy who can help your team immediately. And I'm with you. I think Reed is definitely the more polished player at this point.
Dude, I feel like I'm fitting in somewhere. We actually agree on Reed. So, oh, it's awesome. We should go get coffee or caramels or something.
Let's do it. Well, and you know, Reed is like a little bit of a hot topic. A couple guys that my colleagues are, they don't particularly care for Reed in the first round. They think that, you know, a two-down run stuffing nose tackle can be had later in the draft. And I understand that side of the argument, but Reed is definitely a player that's above and beyond any of the guys in the mid-round range that you can get. So if you can get a premier guy, you know, it really, really opens up your whole defense. You stop the run, you put him at third and long, you let your pass rushers go nuts. And, you know, it's an important position in the 3-4 defense. So I'm with you. I wouldn't mind that selection one bit.
All right. Well, another position of need. I mean, linebacker in general, I think all Packer fans can kind of agree, linebacker is a need. I tend to lean a little bit more toward, I guess, getting another inside guy. But a lot of people saying outside linebackers get more pass rushers. So I guess let's start on the outside there. Who are some of the first-round prospects there?
Sure. Well, I think Bosa and Lawson from Ohio State and Clemson, respectively, will be long gone. A player who's really intriguing to me is Leonard Floyd from Georgia. Now, he worked in a tandem with Jordan Jenkins from Georgia, but Floyd, his last year, he got kicked to inside linebacker primarily because he weighed only, probably played in the 230s last year. He weighed 244 pounds at the combine, so put on a couple pounds. The interesting thing with him is he's just super explosive. He pops off on tape. You can see him, when he gets the edge on an offensive tackle, it's, you know, in the blink of an eye. He has a great inside move that can, you know, leave offensive tackles really trying to block air. He has an innate ability to get skinny to try to, you know, create pressure. And of course, he has the speed to chase down any quarterbacks outside the pocket. As an inside linebacker, you know, you love his athleticism in there. When he's kept clean, he can just find ball, hit ball kind of guy. The problem is he doesn't have a lot of the strength to get off of blocks or a lot of the experience on the inside to, you know, read pulling guards and, you know, try to kind of recognize plays that are happening in front of him. So it'd be a bit of a projection either way. Either on the outside, you wonder if he can hold up against offensive tackles consistently, and on the inside, you know, it's definitely a repetition thing where he needs some time to get better at it. But for me, if he could, you know, learn both of them, whether it's slowly, and then have him and Matthews kind of just, you know, who's coming from where kind of thing, I think that could be really fun for Dom Capers to play around with Floyd and Matthews. Another interesting outside linebacker, and he's really not Packer people, I say that in air quotes, is Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky. His story is well documented now, kicked out of Ohio State for drug usage, but, you know, at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, he was unblockable, and there's a decent crop of offensive tackles there. But really, he was the best player on the field every time he lined up when he was at Eastern Kentucky, and of course, that's what you want to see when you have a big-time prospect playing at a lower conference. But his speed rush around the outside is really one of the best in the class. Now, he doesn't have a lot of counter moves at this point, but again, you know, if he can learn a rip or a spin or anything kind of like that to complement that speed rush, he could be a really big-time outside force at outside linebacker. And the reason why I feel outside linebacker is a need, I mean, Peppers is on his last year. Perry just signed for 1 year. So really it's a position that you'd like to get one of these young guys in now and have them learn it for a year before you just, you know, thrust somebody in there and hope for the best. So, you know, there's some options, you know, in the mid rounds too, but I think in the first round, if the Packers did their homework on Spence and are comfortable with, you know, his maturity level at this stage, he could certainly be an option. And again, with Floyd, his draft range is kind of all over right now, from all the way from top 10 to, you know, again, early part of the second round. So he could certainly fall, and that's someone the Packers should definitely give a look to.
All right. So I guess I'm looking at outside linebacker, and I always think, you can sort of make pass rushers to some extent. I said before, I'm more concerned about the inside linebacker position. So what kind of prospects are out there, and how would you say inside linebacker matches up in this draft class compared to outside linebackers?
Well, I think they're both relatively weak as a whole in this class. You do have some top-tier guys at inside linebacker that we really don't have at, at inside linebacker, you really don't have at outside linebacker. Miles Jack from UCLA, he should be a top-five pick. There's really no use talking about him. He's not dropping to the Packers at 27, even with him coming off a knee injury. The other interesting prospect is Jalen Smith from Notre Dame. He's going in for a medical recheck. The first time he was checked, there was found to be nerve damage, along with, you know, all kinds of tendon issues in his knee. So it's going to take a team that's going to be comfortable realizing that he'll probably have to sit out this whole entire season and that he may never be 100%, which is a pretty big gamble to spend on a prospect on the first or second round even. I think in the third round you might see some teams starting to say, well, he could be, you know, worth the risk. But for someone whose game is predicated a lot on speed, for him to be coming off a devastating knee injury like that, you know, there's no guarantee that he's going to be 100%. So a couple inside linebacker guys that, you know, are realistic options are Darren Lee from Ohio State. I know a lot of people are really huge on him. He had a great combine. He's in the 230s, and then he ran a 4.47, which is just absolutely insane. The thing with Darren Lee is he is a sideline-to-sideline type player. He, you know, someone that Packers haven't really had, you know, at that position in a long, long, maybe ever, really. He's a freak athlete, but, you know, along with, you know, his speed, there are some, you know, questions about whether or not how he can hold up inside consistently against NFL linemen. You know, he's asked to cover the slot occasionally at Ohio State, really play off the ball. Again, kind of a C-ball, hit-ball kind of guy. But, you know, when you're going against Russell Wilson's or even Kaepernick's of a couple years ago, the read options, he's a guy you can chase that down, and he's a guy who can cover tight ends and running backs. So he'd certainly be a good fit and a good option at 27, and that's if he falls. Most mocks have him generally top 20-ish, so... The other inside linebacker, and again, another hot-button topic for Packer fans, is Reggie Ragland from Alabama. I think that, yeah, he is in the mold more of an old-school inside linebacker, where a thumper, you know, really just sound in the run game, can lay the wood on guys, can get off of blocks, but he's just not going to look, you know, as fluid as a Darren Lee or a Miles Jack in space. You know, he's not, I don't want to say labored in his movements, but I don't know if you could trust him consistently to run with a tight end down the seam or cover a running back on a wheel route. But as far as, like, in zone coverage, I think, you know, he's certainly aware enough player to get to his spots and, you know, play the ball. But, you know, he would be a tone setter for our defense. I don't know if you can leave him on the field on third down with as much nickels we play, and that means Joe Thomas would still be seeing the field. And, you know, he's had his ups and downs for sure as a Packer. So I like the Ragland fit. I would be content with that pick. He'd help the run defense immediately, but, you know, he's not the tackle for loss, you know, make huge plays behind the scrimmage every game kind of guy. But I think he'd be a good fit. And, James, I know that you're a big Ragland guy, right?
Yeah, I like Ragland a lot. You're right in that he's not going to be covering tight ends down the seam, and he's not going to be necessarily the coverage guy that we've kind of been lacking, you know, honestly, for the last few years. But I like his attitude. I like what he brings to the squad. I think he brings a little level of nasty, and I like that. I think it fits in well. But like you said, I do get concerned with the third down covering running backs and tight ends. And in that case, I'd like Lee a little bit more, I guess. But Ragland, to me, I think would just kind of fit better on the team in terms of personality and his style.
I certainly see that. I mean, Darren Lee is, you know, a really cocky guy, and that's not a bad thing. You want your, you know, football player to believe that he's the best. But you heard Ragland kind of talk after his meeting with the Packers at the Combine about how he thought he'd be a great fit there, and Packers, you know, gave him the impression that they were really interested in him as well. So I don't think he's like a duplicate Jake Ryan, because I think he's, you know, obviously a more instinctual player, but kind of like the same kind of guy, you know what I mean, if that makes any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, Raglan, definitely a guy I've been seeing almost every mock draft, I think, at this point. I've seen Green Bay taking Raglan, which almost had me convinced that somebody will take him in the early 20s, so we won't get him. But I'm very interested in that Darren Lee guy, though. From what you've been saying, I something about a freak that I like this year. So I like the idea of drafting a freak. So, but it's a good kind of freak, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. You know, and he's only played the position, I think it was 2 years when he came out of high school as a quarterback, and then he was played safety for a year, and then he took over Shazier's spot. And, you know, he got better even this past year. So he's still really, you know, green to the position as far as the nuances goes. But for me, he just kind of misses too many tackles. And granted, he's getting to plays that other linebackers don't even get to, but he just doesn't always, you know, terminate the play. He doesn't always finish that play. So there's, you know, some red flags as far as that goes. But, you know, again, he's just got so much raw potential to work with. I right after the combine, when his buzz was, you know, at the absolute peak, I didn't think there's a chance that he falls at 27, and I think ultimately on draft day I can't see him falling, but there's always that hope, always that potential, and it's going to be kind of eerily similar when the Packers ended up having Clinton Dix follow them, is when Mosley went and then Shazier went. Well, this year it could be Lee going and Raglan going, you know, Ohio State, Alabama linebackers going to school for the Packers, so, you know. There's other needs for the Packers to address, you know, with the defensive line and outside linebacker and so on. So I don't think it'd be the end of the world if either of those guys are gone. I know the Packer community is desperate for an inside linebacker, and I guess I don't really blame them. But again, you know, I'm more of a build from the trenches kind of guy, so I wouldn't be crying.
Yeah, definitely that nose, as you mentioned before, nose tackle, pretty essential in that 3-4 defense. So on that note, we're going to take a brief time out here to talk about our sponsors. Titletown Sound, once again, is brought to you by the Law Office of Christopher Schultz. Christopher specializes in traffic and municipal violations, wills, and estate planning. If you're in need of help, Chris has your back. Call 920-252-0692. His number, once again, 920-252-0692. And of course, if Jeremy were here... Hi, Jeremy. I know you're listening in now. But Jeremy would remind us that he had a lot of help dealing with a speeding ticket. Christopher was really awesome about that, and we are more than happy to promote him here on the show. Also, this week we have a new sponsor, a fellow podcast called What's the Score? The Sports News Quiz. Host Baxter Colburn and Game Master Josh Scheibe bring you a weekly trivia show revolving around the current sports news, and a panel of some interesting sports personalities from the area to boot. Personalities like AM620's own Doug Russell, Lakeshore Chinooks and Marquette Sports PA announcer Dan Pfeiffer, and former president and GM of Major League Soccer's Chicago Fire, Peter Wilt. You can listen to What's the Score on Spreaker.com, but hey, why just listen to the show when you can be on the show and challenge your general sports knowledge as a contestant? Go to their website, WTSSportsQuiz.wix.com, and fill out an application, and you'll be on your way to joining some celebrity contestants such as me, thank you, and WTMJ4's own sportscaster extraordinaire, Lance Allen. What's the Score has a live show coming up on April 17th at 2:30 p.m. Central Time. We hope you can listen into that, but in the meantime, you can listen to past shows on Spreaker.com, or on their show's website, WTSSportsQuiz.wix, spelled W-I-X.com. Website again, WTSSportsQuiz.wix.com. And that's a lot of me talking. And now I'm done talking. So we're going to switch over to the offensive side of the draft here. And wide receiver, some people think the Packers need a wide receiver. And James, I know you wanted to touch on that, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about anybody that wants the Packers to take a wide receiver. Go right ahead.
I've never had a celebrity announce me before. This is so great. Thank you. Everybody who thinks that we should pick a wide receiver anywhere before round 5, stop. Stop. Stop it. It's okay. I know that you need to you need to find something to complain about. And there's bridges to troll under and stop. Okay, we're good. We're good. We're so good. We're getting
guys couldn't get open last year. They couldn't get open.
We're getting rid of old dudes. That is how good we are this year. We're shipping off our leading receiver to the parts unknown to go hang out with the Ultimate Warrior at this point. They're gone. Okay? We're going to be all right. We have Cobb, Aberderis, a returning knight in shining armor in Jordy Nelson, the most gifted athlete that's ever graced God's green planet Earth, Jeffrey Q. Janis. We're going to be okay.
It's time about Devontae Adams. Is there a reason that you left him out?
Because when I think of Devontae Adams, it makes me want to turn into somebody I don't like.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Now, I'm hoping that this year is the year. I'm hoping that was an aberration. He comes back and he's Mr. All-Pro that Aaron Rodgers thinks he can be. However, comma, I also hope that I get to go to my senior prom with Julie King. And that was 20 years ago. So probably has a better chance of doing that.
Sure.
Hi, Julie.
I'm with you, James. These people just kind of cool it. I understand if value just smacks you upside the face where you kind of got to take one. But you're really just almost admitting defeat that Adams isn't going to be a guy that you think you can contribute. But, I mean, when Jordy is healthy and Cobb's back to the slot, not getting, you know, primarily the focus, and Adams, if he can stay healthy on the outside, Aberderis flash summon, and, of course, the great white hype, Janis. I mean, you know, on paper, it's a pretty strong group. At the end of the year, of course, injuries just really derailed us, but you know, at the most, you're going to carry six guys, you know, heading into the season. So there really isn't a whole lot to talk about with wide receivers for me. There's some late-round guys I really like. One of my favorites is Mike Thomas from Southern Mississippi. But, you know, again, I'm with you fourth, fifth round. Anything before that, you know, unless the value is just so great that you have to pull the trigger, I'm with you and just holding off on that position.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, Jeff Janis can play three slots, so it's all good.
Absolutely. There is no limit to what Jeff Janis can or cannot do.
I don't even know why we're drafting anybody. We need to play Janis all over the place.
I guess that it's a sense of fair play.
Oh.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Anyway. So maybe moving on from wide receiver. Offensive line, a position, I think basically the Packers should draft every year regardless, just because you can never have too many big dudes that can battle in the trenches. I mean, unless like every single player is an offensive lineman, I guess that's too many, but having one or two extra ones around is not a bad idea. So Cody, the question to you, sir, is what's available in the draft this year on the offensive line?
Sure. Just quick touch on the roster. I think everyone's aware now that Sitton and Lang are both free agents end of this year. So is Bakhtiari, and so is J.C. Treader, who was our backup swing inside guy, and then when thrust out to left tackle, actually proved more than capable. So this year, I'm not sure you're going to be drafting anyone for a starter unless you're able to get a guy who can challenge Bakhtiari at left tackle or even Bulaga at right tackle, but he just got paid, so chances are that's not happening. Three guys I think that could be there at 27 that I think the Packers would have to take a long, hard look at and potentially, you know, pull the trigger are Taylor Decker from Ohio State. I think he's a phenomenal run blocker. He's a huge dude, 6'7", 310 pounds. He does a really good job getting to the second level, and when he gets there, he finds his target and really demolishes him. As a pass protector, he's solid, not spectacular. Again, at 6'7", he can kind of get a little high, which allows some defenders to get up into his chest and knock him off balance a little bit. But he's a great run blocker and someone who I think could develop his pass rushing skills. And at Ohio State, he really wasn't asked to just do a, you know, Barrett and Cardell aren't doing seven-step drops or anything. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for him. But again, you'd have the year. The other thing with Decker, I think, would be a bonus for him. Even though, despite his height, I think he could kick inside to guard and have a good career there, too. So, again, whether or not who we sign or if we can afford all of them, any of them, just a hand, whatever of them, you know, he has that versatility. Another guy I really like is Jason Spriggs from Indiana. And I think he's kind of more in the mold of what the Packers have drafted previously. A really highly athletic guy. He tested extremely well at the combine. 6'6", 300 pounds. He really moves like he's 40 pounds less than that. He's got good length. He keeps his speed rushers to the outside. Kind of his issues are more consistency-based. Also, he can get beat to the inside. Again, with having a good guard like Sitton or somebody next to him, you know, the communication level could certainly help that alleviate some of those concerns. But he's just got great feet for a big guy. I think he'd be a great fit. And then Jack Conklin. Most mocks have Conklin going earlier. And I'm a big Conklin guy. However, I just see a lot of inconsistencies with technique with him where I think they could be issues at the next level. He's a great run blocker. When he down blocks, I mean, he's looking to kill somebody. I know Pro Football Focus has him graded as a top three tackle for the last 2 years in a row. I think he's given up just maybe two or three sacks his whole career at Michigan State. He's a really, really good player, a former walk-on. He's had to earn everything he's ever got. He's certainly an option, and I also think that he could play left tackle, right tackle, or, again, kick inside to guard. So, for me, if any of those three guys are on the board at 27, I think the Packers certainly have to take a long look at it. And, again, I'm not sure how happy fans would be, or, you know, maybe they would be because we're protecting Rodgers, but I'm not sure that that player would see the field in 2016, which, you know, hopefully the fan base would have some patience and realize that, hey, this is drafting for a need in 1 year in advance, and it'd be great to have that offensive lineman get four preseason games or training camp under his belt before he's automatically expected to be the starter. So those are three guys that are certainly on the, you know, should be on the Packers board highly.
All righty. I guess I'm already forgetting the name of the guy we took in the first round a few years ago out of Mississippi.
Derek Sherrod.
Derek Sherrod.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to go back to not remembering him. So, yes. Well, let's just move on. Bad thoughts. Let's just put Jeff Janis on the line and be done with it. That'll go well. Speaking of the line, let's how about tight end? Tight ends are on the line. They count. They're people, too. And Packers, of course, they just signed a tight end in Jared Cook. So, I've got high hopes for Jared Cook. He's finally got a quarterback who has some idea of what he's doing and has talent. So I'm hopeful for him. But beyond that, it still seems a little bit like, you know, is Richard Rodgers going to be a guy that's here for another 10 years or not? And I guess we're still figuring that out. So how is the tight end class looking in this year's draft?
Not good. Not good at all.
Sad.
I had the privilege of writing up tight ends for the Cheesehead TV draft guide, so make sure you check it out. A lot of good Packer writers, you know, contributing to that. But so I have a really good in-depth knowledge of the tight ends, and in my money, I'd say there's five guys that could come in and potentially be starters right away. I'll just touch on them real briefly to get through them all. Hunter Henry, consensus number one tight end from Arkansas. Good size, decent blocker. He's not great. He has really inconsistencies there, but he has phenomenal hands. He's catches everything. I don't think he dropped the ball this whole last season, so he's got great hands, but he's not going to offer much run after the catchability. He's better than Richard Rodgers, that is, but again, he's not going to be a huge upgrade, and I think you almost have to spend your second round pick on a guy like that, and I'm not sure that he's worth that. That's probably right where his value is, so if the Packers did decide to go with that option, I can understand it, but with Cook and Rodgers, I don't know if you know, spending a second round is the best use of resources there. My number two tight end is Tyler Higbee. He's been in the news lately. Apparently punched out somebody at a bar. Not a good look for him right now. Court date is going to be after the draft, so with that in flux, there's a chance he goes undrafted. But he's a beast after the catch. I've been comparing him to Travis Kelce, you know, the tight end from Kansas City. So I don't think anyone touches him, which is unfortunate. Austin Hooper, tight end from Stanford. Again, I think he's probably a second-day pick, second or third round. He's actually a pretty good inline blocker. I think he struggles a little bit when he's asked to block people in space. But if you put him on the line, he can move a guy around and steer him in the right direction. He doesn't create a lot of separation, Richard Rodgers. But He does make good catches in contested situations and in traffic. Jarrell Adams, he's probably the closest thing to Jared Cook. He tested really well at the combine. He's got good run after the catch. He just always fights for those extra yards, kind of like a Finley. He's not a real natural catcher. He kind of fights it a little bit, but he's got a pretty decent catch radius. But he's also a really good blocker. He blocks when he's out in the slot as well as when he's in line. So I think, again, he's probably late day two. There was some hype earlier on him, you know, early second round. But I think day two, you know, the middle there to the late is probably his value. And if we were to go after a guy to kind of fit that Cook role, I think that he'd be the good target there. The other tight end who's kind of all around very good but not spectacular or anything is Nick Vinette from Ohio State, 6'6", 257. Again, he wasn't utilized a lot at Ohio State. I think he caught 19 balls last year. But he's a good blocker. Again, he can pull around and put a linebacker on his heels a little bit. But it's kind of a bit of an unknown with him as far as how he is as a pass-catching threat because he just wasn't utilized much. But those are the five guys that I think are day two to day early day three guys that, I could come in and challenge a starter for a spot, but ultimately are probably just going to be number two tight ends early in their careers, and they all have some developmental abilities to potentially be a starter down the road.
All right. Well, I guess, James, do you have any thought? You know a lot about tight ends, of course, so I guess any thoughts from your end there?
It was my major in college.
I believe that.
Now that we have Jared Cook, I feel strangely okay with our situation. I was kind of panicking for a minute there at the end of the year before we got him. But now I feel like we're okay. As far as the draft goes, obviously Hunter Henry is the cream of the crop, except for the crop is not very well good and the cream is kind of nasty. But, you know, could he get better down the line? Could he learn and you know, be able to catch better or run better routes and block? I don't know. Maybe. But I don't like a lot of these guys, to be honest. Jarrell Adams intrigues me just because he's so fast. And he seems to have a lot of upside to him, but he also has a lot of things that could cause him to turn into JerMichael Finley without the talent. So
that sounds bad.
I'm kind of with you too. Like, if we don't address the position this year in the draft, I'm not going to be too upset. You know, Cook bet on himself by signing a 1-year deal. We offered him a 2-year deal, but next year's draft, and I know always next year is loaded, next year's loaded, next year's loaded. But really, you know, you look at OJ Howard from Alabama, Leggett from Clemson, Butt from Michigan. There's a lot of top tier tight ends that should be coming out next year in the draft. So if it gets ignored this year and Cook ends up having a good year and goes and asks for ridiculous money, or say he plays good, you know, with flashes and we can sign him to a decent deal, that wouldn't be an issue either. But next year really is, you know, the year of the tight end, just JerMichael Finley. I'm doing the YTTO year of the takeover over here already in preparation for 2017 tight ends in the draft.
Alrighty. I got stuck on, you said the tight end out of Michigan's name, and then my mind wandered off a little bit. And
talking about Forrest Most Major.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You don't want to know what I minored in.
No, I definitely don't. Oh, it's just like having Jeremy and Chris here. All right, I think that just about wraps it up. Cody, I'm gonna throw this at you really quickly on the fly here. I guess if you have your druthers, Packers first round pick is gonna be who? Of guys realistically that are gonna be there.
Oh man, you know, at this point, I guess Andrew Billings. Nose tackle who has the ability to stay on the field all three downs. I think, like I told you, I'm a build from the trenches guy. Billings is in my top 10. I love what he brings to the table. He's a younger prospect, so strong. I think he kind of makes everyone better around him. So Billings would be my number one wish, realistic wish, I guess.
All right, sounds good. James, do you have any wishes you want to share before we sign off?
I'm kind of I'm with Cody on this one. I like Billings a lot. If before about a month ago, before Rashi decided to he lost his smile or whatever his deal is. I would have said Ragland, give me Ragland tomorrow. But we need somebody up front, I think. And I like Billings a lot. So I'd be okay with either or.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to review the Billings tape myself then, because I'm still a Jarrad Reed guy. So, but we seem in consensus. Nose tackle is good. And yay, Packers. 16-0, here we come.
I need a soundboard.
I should totally get a soundboard together. That'd be awesome. I'm really glad Jeremy's not here with his. Can I just say that? on that note, yes, Cody, you mentioned the draft guide. You want to plug that real quick?
Yep, Cheesehead TV draft guide. And feel free to hop on cheeseheadtv.com. I have all my positional rankings up. Corners, safeties, and inside linebackers should be posted in the next couple of days. My big board will be dropping. I'm going to do a mock draft, one before the draft, obviously, and then I'll do probably a 7-round Packer mock yet. So I'm putting out tons of content there for Jersey Allen. And make sure you check out Titletown Sound Off. I mean, those guys gave me my a big start as far as Packer draft stuff goes, and they're always putting out good content. So thank you guys, and check out their stuff as well as the Cheesehead TV draft stuff too.
All right, well, we will be releasing Cody from his cage later because he said nice things about us. And on that note, TitletownSoundoff.com, of course, is the website. Twitter handles. Cody, what's your Twitter handle if people want to follow you? Which they should, of course.
I would hope so. At C Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, NFL Draft.
All right, James, your Twitter handle?
At JKSub20, S-U-B-2-0.
All right, and you've been posting about food quite a bit the last couple of weeks, so people should look forward to that.
Well, you know.
More food talk?
My mind revolves around three things. It's Packers, it's food, and it's eating food while watching Packers.
Fantastic. And see, that's why people should follow James. You get the draft stuff from Cody, you get the food from James, and at That's Our Bobo, Bobo spelled with 3 B's, 2 O's, because there's just one Bobo. You can follow me on Twitter for just really mindless crap and I guess pro wrestling. I guess I do tweet about pro wrestling quite a bit. So on that note, and of course the show, at Titletown Sound on Twitter. You can tweet questions, comments, and whatever to us. And we may answer questions on the podcast next time we do one of these, which will hopefully be in the next couple weeks. And, you know, maybe we won't because we're jerks. What can I say? So, yep. On that note, again, Cody, thank you so much for being here. It's wonderful to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Cody.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. And James, thanks for jumping in kind of last second.
Hey, I have no life, so it's all good.
I understand. And I will thank myself for being awesome, because of course I am. I'm also very humble, if I haven't mentioned that.
You are.
And on that note, we will sign off episode forever of Titletown Sound. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to pet your cat.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.